Give a big round of applause to
Hello, my name is Gianluca Guida, and there's a reason, there's also a backstory, and I will be sure to tell you all about it. And then, of course, some of us know Mark, has been personally a personal obsession of mine for a few decades, but I'm going to attempt at having a brief introduction to Mark, which is impossible because it's extremely complicated. And then I'm going to go and say how it implemented, why I discovered the why before, but like what is the principle between the implementation and how can you go towards implementing something like this, and then the lesson learned. Okay, let's start. So the backstory. This is not my first time I present to this dev room. I think it was in 2016 and 2018 and presented my microkernel, which was called Mojahawk, which was all the only interface I exported was such as a device driver that you can see the presentation for the reason why. And after 2018, I realized that I needed to get rid of some code I was emotionally attached to, which was mostly 32-bit and I386. I actually need to port it to modern hardware. And so I started this project called Nux. So Nux became, in the end, like a kernel prototyping framework. So it's something that is extremely portable, and it's meant to allow me to prototype kernel, which is something that I do in my spare time when I don't do synthesizers. So again, the original motivation was that. And when I designed this framework, first of all, I make it portable. So right now it works in i386, AMD64, and RISC-V64. And originally it was meant to run Mojahawk, which was a very simple kernel. I made it extremely simple for a reason. I didn't believe in the mix between fork and threads. So I made it just, I implemented forks. I didn't implement user threads. And Nux essentially has this implementation. If you're interested about Nux, tomorrow I will have a talk in the AI Dev Room, and I will have to explain more in details over there why I did the architecture of Nux. So if you're interested in that, be sure to check that talk. Now, yes, so I essentially ported Mojahawk to Nux. It was quite easy because essentially it was the same underlying assumption about what a kernel should be. And yes, and now, you know, as a result, I still haven't published the code, but I got Mojahawk for anyone who's interested that works in 64-bit, both in Intel and RISC-V. The problem with this is that I wanted to kind of publish Nux as a kernel development framework, just to help people that just want to. It's extremely simple to get a very simple kernel in Nux. Again, tomorrow's talk would be more about it. Essentially, you define a main function, and some essentially entry function, which is essentially like an event model. It's a simple C file, and you get a kernel that boots on SMP on modern hardware. I test it up to dual Xeon with 40 cores. So the problem is I wanted to test and stress test Nux to see how much can actually goes and really help me to make very difficult kernels. And I briefly considered doing a Unix system 5, you know, a Unix classical Unix system. But I say, you know what, there's something that is more complicated than a Unix kernel, way more complicated, and that is Mac. And so why Mac is more complicated? So I went for the hardest thing, right? And well, the Mac normal implementation is a heavy use of kernel threads, and in Nux I do not support kernel threads, so I wanted to see, can I actually statement, and you will no idea when you'll get out of it, right? Like pages and pages of mysterious locking out. So I actually was very curious, why is it written like this? Is that the only way it can be written? And, you know, I lack euphemism, and so I shouldn't probably say what I think. And also, there's another reason that I realized in 2025 is the 20th anniversary of my Stomach branch, which was a clone of GNU-Mac that I presented in 2005. Actually, I think it was November 2005. At the Stomach, at the hard meeting in Madrid. And essentially it was a bit of a crazy stuff, but essentially I tried to solve the problem of the lack of drivers in GNU Herd. So I ported a COM interface so I could use OSKit inside GNU Herd instead of doing what OSKitMAT was doing. But anyway, this is ancient history now. So there's a personal unfinished business with Mark. So when I wanted to port Mac, I was thinking, how can I do this? Mac was famous for being portable, so there's a very well-defined interface to implement to port Nux, to port Mac to an architecture, and I could have ported Nux as an architectural part. And the only things I actually needed to do, which was very weird, was to implement kernel threads in Nux, which I can do, but felt a bit unnatural. And then there was the hardest way, the one where I can actually re-implement it from scratch. It's a bit insane, but the truth is, I had enough personal curiosity about Mac and why it was written this way, and all the things that I said before, that I said, you know what, actually, I really like understanding things by re-implementing it. So it's a bit insane, but I could probably try that. I repeat, like, these are the questions that I had. Does the code really have to be complicated and difficult to read? And, okay, yes, we all know that Mac was a pioneer in many modern OS ideas. What kind of choices would have been made today? It's much easier after you implement to think about them because you have to solve the problems that other people have solved. And so, of course, I chose this. Now, I'm going to try to... One could talk for hours about this, so by brief I need to be... I'm going to skip a lot of details. I'm going to simplify a lot. And if you say that I say something wrong, I'm probably just simplifying. Oh, probably I just got it wrong. Right, so what Mac was famous for, it was the first thing that was... It was very famous for its IPC. Everything was a message pass. And it's not a message passing as you find in modern kernels. So in the documentation, they say that they push for a client-server architecture, except in the code, they call it user-server architecture, which becomes complicated because there are three kind of messages. The first is user space to user space, so you have a server in user space and a user in user space, and you send messages. But then you can have a kernel server, and so the kernel server, the user send a message to the kernel, which that's how you get services. But then, of course, there's the most annoying definition ever, which is kernel user, which, of course, it means that the kernel requests services or send notification to a user. And so the server is in user space, and the user is in kernel space. But anyway, once you understand that, everything sounds fine. But in my MIG branch, I also allow kernel user to be defined as kernel client. Now, write and send once. Is it simple? No, it's way more complicated than that, because the send writes are actually counted. The send count can only be one. And when I send a message, the easier way to think is that when I send a message, essentially, I am giving the write to the receiver back. And so the ref count changed, but of course I can clone the write, so it gets a bit more complicated, but this is the idea. And then there's a thing called pod sets, which are very annoying to implement, in which essentially I can collate a lot of portlets together, and so with a single receive, I can receive from multiple pods. So this is when I say that the IPC is nice, but this is how it becomes. And so you can imagine that then you can have port writes for kernels, services, the kernels doesn't really care about writes to users and stuff like this. Now, let's get more complicated, shall we? Mac, of course, introduced our interface definition language, which is called MIG. And of course, you generate user and server code. Again, think user as client. And yeah, so this is how it works. I mean, this seems quite sane, actually. There's an interface definition. There's some user code. And so MIG generates from the interface definition a user code and a server code. And so, you know, like, I call it from here, and the interface goes on the other side. So wherever I link the server code, that's where I'm going to get the thing. Of course, think about this. When I have a kernel server, the server code generated by MIG will be compiled in kernel. When I have a kernel user code, the user code generated by MIG, which is a tool, user space tool, will be compiled in kernel as well. Now, did I say that is? Oh, yeah. So I missed some very important things here. Kernel defined message. So essentially, like, the message that the MIG generates, because essentially from kernel call, I need to create a message that then gets sent. The the message needs to be not a specific kernel-dependent function. Why is that? Because the kernel might need to pass the message. So messages are typed in Mac. And so, for example, the message header will link to the port write ID of the sender and possibly a reply port. And then there are various types. Now, there are two types of messages that I can send. So, you know, minimum case scenario, the kernel, when you receive a message, only need to pass the header. But there's this thing called complex messages. And it doesn't need to be passed all of them, even the body of the message. Because they can contain address range, I can just say, okay, just move this code, copy this code to this process and attach this memory to the messages. I can send port writes. This is how writes are, this is essentially the capability system of Mac. It's implemented. I can send port write support. And sometimes I can just directly say, okay, apply to this port and this is a port name and stuff like this. So what does it mean is that the fact that the kernel, the MIG, needs to define messages that are, actually need to be understood by the kernel, it means that pretty much MIG and the kernel are tightly coupled. So when you implement your own kernel, you need to be sure to implement your own MIG as well. And system that essentially do the physical memory cache, and it just tell the pager, please save this page so I can free it. It's way more complicated than that in reality. There are two more complications if you really want to know. What I describe is just one copy and write mechanism. There are three of them. And the most annoying one is copy known, which despite the name, it actually copies everything. So actually, when you switch between delay to copy known or when you use copy known, all the pages that are swapped out need to be swapped in by the kernel and then swapped out again and copied and then swapped out on both things. This is very annoying, and it's only used in a 1994 commit by Newhart, so I'm not going to implement that shit. There's another complication, of course. You can read that out. I'm not going to do that. So how did I implement Machina? So I hope I convinced you that this thing is complicated, unnecessarily complicated. What I wanted to do is avoid looking at the Mac source code actively, because I didn't want to be primed by the Mac implementation. And also because I wanted to see what the code looked like. I don't want to be primed. So the first thing I wanted to see, okay, the two most complicated systems are IPC and VM. I wanted to implement one first and then the other, but of course I cannot do that because in Mac, when you send a message, the message is part of the other space, which can be mapped in many VM objects. So you can imagine what happened. And so I said, okay, now this is insane. So I essentially create a special kernel buffer, and it's shared memory between kernel and user, and just send a message. And these are lists, so allowing me to implement IPC first and VM later. Of course, there's a big limitation that, I'm getting there, there's a big limitation that the messages are now limited in maximum size, because of course in Mac, the message that passed by the kernel can be 100 gigabytes, who cares, right? So anyway, I did that, and there's a bit of problem in MIG. So the other things that I did in Mac is essentially I created a module, and I think this is more expressed better by this picture. So I got the kernel that only defined the kernel object and the interactions. Then I got a kernel module and a lib module that essentially had the MIG output for the kernel interfaces. And then, of course, I got the bootstrap that is highly dependent to this. So what I have is a way to create multiple personalities inside Mac so that we can have a Mac 3 personality and then having the, you know, having various things and testing various things. So the way I implemented the IPC is that I simply have like an external format, which is the crazy things that I described before, and then essentially like I solve the messages by you know, checking the things and only saving the refcam pointer internally. And actually this is very fast, apparently. And this is the way I implemented the VM. I could spend 20 minutes on this alone, and I'm going to do it. But this is all implemented, so I'm very proud of that. So I essentially have a clock algorithm, the reclamate page. So there's a layer which implements the space, a layer implements the VM object with all the shadowing part. The cache object, just be sure to essentially tells the VM object, I've never seen this page. I mapped this page before. and the page is paged out. And so, you know, the cache object on the page table that are mapped in the VM object. The memory cache is essentially the PFN. And the clock algorithm just maintains an LLU layer.